Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marty Swedberg.
I have had an amazing gift given to me, in that I have three human sisters who are my bestest friends, as well as my biggest supporters in ministry. In fact, they make up my missions ministry board. And so right now I'm going to introduce you first to my oldest sister, Marla. Welcome to you. I'm excited to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Oh, I love you so much. And you and I, you know, I always say you're my mentor and you always say I'm your mentor. And that's just kind of how it's supposed to be, I think.
Yes, yes.
That we keep learning from everybody in our lives.
And it's been so fun to be behind the scenes hearing as this has all come together. I've just, it's been really fun roller coaster to ride with you.
Yes, absolutely. And it has been a roller coaster ride. I've described it like the feeling that is best descriptive to me is that the only thing, I'm on the top of a cliff with a sheer drop off. And the only thing of my entire being touching the cliff is the arches of my feet. And the rest of me is hanging straight out looking down. And all I know is that I've got a good harness on and I know the harness holder, so I'm going to be okay. Otherwise, certain death, right? You were the one that I believe it was when you were diagnosed with cancer that you called it bungee jumping with Jesus.
Oh no, that was way before then. It was when I had all those miscarriages. Yeah. Bungee jumping with Jesus, tossed in the air by my dad. When I come down, I won't hit the ground. We'll giggle and hug instead.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so powerful. But you know, I did earlier, I showed a picture of a roller coaster because you would be insane to get on a roller coaster and not buckle up, right?
Right, right.
Because it would be certain death, right?
Right.
I'd be insane to hang out over the cliff. You'd be insane to bungee jump without really trusting the person who's got the controls there. And that's the beauty of walking with Jesus, no matter what we go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know who's got us.
Yes. Yes.
You guys, Marla has an amazing history, just so much challenge and struggle and pain and joy. And
not as much as you. When you do that episode in your conferences, when you talk about have you been through and you do all those things, and it didn't even dawn on me until you finally sat down and I went, oh my land, yes, she has been through all those things. And God
just
you know, sometimes God leads his children through, you know, not sometimes, always. God leads us through trials and then uses those to help us minister to others. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And prepares us for the next thing. Right. Well, you have in the past few years done the most incredible thing. I tell you what, when I heard about you doing this, it cracked me up so badly. And it still does my big sister. So we were raised very conservatively, like extremely conservatively. And my big sister started going to open mic comedies in bars. So tell us how many times you've done that.
I've done 29 times at 9 venues in 4 states.
Unbelievable. And you are so funny and you're so much fun anyway, but you're funny too. And right now you have prepared for us a little taste of what God allows you to do to encourage, especially people with cancer and people who are walking the journey with them.
So I'm not a comedian. I'm not a humorist. I'm a teacher. And one of the things that has been so fun about this summit has been all the giveaways. And I want to teach you how to give a gift for free, free gifts, free for you to give, free for them to get. And I want you to give this gift specifically to our medical professionals because they, with the start of COVID, their lives took a really sad turn into darkness. And it has been a really hard 2 years. And we all thought we were coming out of it. And now we are in the midst of really bad. So I want to prepare you to give them the gift of a smile. And it's easy. You can do it. I'm going to teach you how right now. First, go to your internet and search for clean medical jokes. And you can look for kids' jokes too. And then I want you to just read through until you find one. And it has to be kind, but it makes you laugh out loud. If it makes you laugh, then you like it. Now, get that joke on your smartphone. You can take a picture of it. You can type it. If you don't have a smartphone, write it on a piece of paper. Don't trust your memory. Write it down. Have it and bring it with you. Now, when you go, and whatever medical professional it is, this is what you say. First, you start by saying, have you heard any jokes today? You know, I did this going through cancer and they all said no. I was kind of hoping they'd have one, but they all said no. So then you say, well, would you like to hear one? And they say yes. And then you tell them your joke. Now, yesterday I went to the eye doctor. And so I like to get a joke that's like a little bit related to whatever medical professional I'm going to see. So this is the one I had. And what did the right eye say to the left eye? Between you and me, something smells. So I told this to them and they were so excited. They started laughing before I even told the punchline, but it was really fun. Years ago when Marsha was going to, our sister Marsha, she's going to be on in a minute, when she had gallbladder surgery and she called me up and she said, Marla, give me a joke. And I'm like, okay, here's one for gallbladder surgery. This is perfect. Why was the skeleton afraid to cross the road? Because he didn't have any guts. So this is what happened. She went in, and you know, with surgery, there's like a whole stream of people you're seeing, right? So she goes in and they're doing the pre-op. She tells the first person her joke. As each new professional came in the room, they would say, Marsha, tell them your joke. And so she did it over and over again. Then when they got in the operating room, they didn't want her talking anymore. And they were competing with each other to be the one who got to tell the joke to the next person in the room. And I need you to know, this is how God's economy works. God says it's better to give than to receive. And sometimes we're not actually that good at receiving. And I just want to encourage all of you, go get those free gifts out there. Those speakers want you to take advantage of those gifts. So go get them. But when we give, Marsha was in that room and she was not thinking the thoughts you normally think while you're waiting for surgery. Instead, she was having a blast listening to all of them have fun with her joke. So I want to encourage you all, go make somebody smile. Marnie?
I love it. And I just always love, I love listening to your stuff. And I love that you, when you were diagnosed with cancer, one of the things that God really told you very clearly was that humor and laughter was really important. Can you just briefly share that?
So God spoke to me and he said that there were, because I asked him, I'm like, how are you supposed to go through cancer without grumbling and complaining? You just shut up for the 9 months. I don't know. What does that look like? And God said, no, be honest, but mix in praise, gratitude, and laughter. And if you can be honest about how bad it is, but also praise me, also be grateful, and also laugh, people will be drawn to you like moths to a light. And that is exactly what happened. And it was also really comforting to me. It really helped. And it's not something I just needed then. I use it all the time. Whenever I'm in fear, I go to those three tools.
Oh, well, I love it. I love you so much. Oh, and I'm so grateful for you and for all your prayers and all your love. And I'm going to have you step off stage for just a moment while I bring on sister number two, which is Marsha. And welcome to
Hello.
You.
Thank you.
So excited you could be here with us.
Me too.
We've got three of us sisters living in Florida and one you living up alone in Minnesota, and we miss you and we love you.
Thank you. I miss you guys and love you too. Yeah.
Yeah. And you also are a mentor to me as well as I think it's reciprocal there. Yeah. And I know that you have been one of my biggest supporters of my books and sharing them out with people and doing Bible studies with them with people. And you're still working on my gasping for grace. We got to get a Bible study component to that one.
That's right. That's right. It's so powerful. And, yeah. And grace is offensive. So if you don't have somebody cheering you on, you're very likely to not finish that. But it's so powerful if you'll just commit and go all the way through. Wow. It's radical, life-changing.
Yeah. So you are also my sister who often speaks truth into people's lives. You listen hard and you are willing to really step out there and take a risk. And there's something that God taught you about that I was hoping you could share. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about when were worried. What if I get it wrong? Or what if do I have to follow up and make sure this really happens? You know?
Right. Yeah. God's been gracious and given me many prophecies and then how people respond to them kind of surprises me sometimes. And I'm like, oh, good, but I'm not responsible for what they do with it. I'm just responsible to give it.
Right.
I'm just being obedient to God. Right. And I'm learning how to make sure I repeat only his words, because I really don't know what he means a lot of times. Uh-huh. And so I think I know where he's going. And then it's not that way at all. So, yeah.
I think that's one thing you and I have talked about a lot, is when we hear from God, we don't hear it like he doesn't like come into the room like another person and speak to us from right. like that. It's just you're hearing it in your heart. You're hearing it through your own thoughts. And so because of that, it's possible to misunderstand. Right. And so it's a learning process to hear from God, to be sensitive to him, to tune into him and let him speak to you. Be willing. I consider it like learning how to listen as a baby. You're learning to listen and to decipher. And what does that mean, really?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it shouldn't surprise us that it doesn't come easily and that it takes work and that we have to be humble about it.
Right.
But it's totally worth the effort.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah. Right now, God's allowing me to bless people mostly with my prophecies.
Yeah.
And so that's always nice. But when he gives the harder words, then that's a little bit less harder. Fun. He's letting me do the fun ones right now. So.
Right. Oh, that's so great. That's so great. Well, I love you so much. At the end of this, I'm going to have you come and bless us all. You have a prayer that God has given you from Psalm 91 that you love to share. And at the end of the program, I'm going to have you come back on and share that. Okay. So right now, I'm going to have you disappear.
Okay.
And sister number four, sister number three, daughter number four. Hello, my darling. You are my super fun sister. We're all fun, right? But you're the one.
We're all fun.
We are. But you're the one that when you come into the room, like everybody just starts laughing. Not because you're.
Because I look so funny. I look so funny. I was actually trying to figure out how I could be laying in my boat when you came on, but I could not figure that out for the life of me. So
okay, but sitting here. One of my very favorite kid stories is when Maxwell, your second child, you guys were living on a sailboat for 8 years, and your second child was in school, and the assignment was to write down what your mother does all day. And he wrote down that she lays on the deck of the boat in her bikini and reads a book. And that was what he thought you did all day.
Which I must confess, I did do that a bit. They were always supervised then. See, they're watching them. It was good. It was a safe occupation for me.
You lived on a boat for years, almost a decade. Mm-hmm. With your family.
Yep.
And then Dave, by the way, she's married to Dave. Marla's married to Dave and I'm married to Dave. Not all the same Dave, but we're all married to Dave.
Wait. I need Audrey Lewis, who said when it was you three, the three, the MMM ladies, and also Hattie Booker, who wrote the three M's before I came on. I need you to now come up with something about the Daves, because that was funny.
And Vicky, how did you get your name Vicky after all the M's?
Well, you know what's so great? It's like when I was in my 40s, Marcia told me I was an oops baby, which was the funniest thing I had ever heard in my life. Had never, ever crossed my mind that I was a mistake. So when it came out that I was when I was 40, I was like, that's a great mistake. Thanks, Mom. Thanks.
Way to go, so glad you did it. And do you see what your name is on your title is amazing, Vicky, because that is just what you go by all the time. And you are, you know, you're actually an amazing agent now too. I laughed so hard when you became a real estate agent, and then you were the amazing agent, Vicki. You guys lived on a boat for a decade. Before that time was up, Dave was afflicted, I'm going to say, with Tolosa-Hunt syndrome, which affects the trigeminal nerves in the face. And you guys had to get off the boat because he lost his sense of balance in that. And I'm not sure if you came with anything in particular you wanted to share, but if you did, now's the time. And if not, I will proceed.
You know, the only thing I thought is that Matthew 11, 28 to 30 in the Message version of the Bible has been really resonating with Dave and I. We read it early this year and just have kind of been talking about it and thinking about this summit and how God is, you know, using us to come and we get lots of tools, gonna do it better. And what I really love about this passage is that it's Jesus. And what he said is, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll live to learn freely and lightly. And I just, the unforced rhythms of grace, you know, we try harder. Yeah. You know, Jesus doesn't need, the world does not need Christians who are trying harder. That gets you nowhere.
Right.
It's, you know, when we were in the midst of our struggles, Exodus 14:14 was our theme, my theme. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I saw it over and over again. And I think earlier, Forsha was saying that, you know, when we are often in a valley, we try to fix it. And what I have learned is that God has so many more options than I could ever think or imagine for how he is going to solve my problems. And I say it all the time to you that he is rarely early, but he is never late. And I often repeat also what you say, Marnie, which is a lot of people want to see miracles in their lives, but nobody wants to go through hard times. But it is in the hard times that Jesus just shows up and blows your socks off in ways that you just have to share with people. That is, he's so big.
It's so true. Amazing. It's so true.
I encourage you to just continue to trust Jesus.
Before I bring my other sisters back on again, Vicki, you were actually without an address. You were basically homeless for how long was it? I think it was over 5 years.
It was a long time. Maybe, oh no, I think it was three.
Three years.
2014,
okay.
We forgot our own address again. Yes, that was an adventure.
Yeah. And God, literally, you guys couldn't live on your house anymore, which was a boat. Right. And so God just moved you from place to place to place to place to place to place.
13 places.
Mm-hmm. And when you arrived at the place he took you next, frequently you had no idea where the next place was going to be.
Right. And sometimes didn't know how long we were staying where we got. Do I put my kids in daycare? I don't know. What am I doing here? Yeah.
And you were working. At the time, we can't say who for, but you were working at the time, and Dave was just doing the best he could to survive the recovery process, which he's still in. He's way, 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 way better, but that was just such a long journey, and I remember that as you were going through that particular leg of your journey in life, Vicki, it was the biggest faith-building time of my life.
Well, mostly because when we came to you for maybe 2 weeks and we stayed for 4 months, that's probably surprising.
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't that. That was just fun. That was like, how often in your life can you imagine living with your adult sister and her family in the same house? Yeah, that was just such a gift. But watching how God would like move you, and it was so specific.
Yeah, when we were at your house, remember, Dave got rear-ended like the week before we were going to run out of money. We didn't have money for our bills. And he got rear-ended, our old horrible truck that we got rid of like a month later. And the insurance guy came within a week and when he came, he looked at the truck and he gave us a check for $1,700, exactly what we were short for our bills. Like, nobody was hurt. Yeah, it was just like over and over. God would just come through at the last minute. It was stunning and amazing and faith building and a little nerve wracking. Yeah. I think Trey said it best. My third son prayed one night, the day after we told him we had to leave our beloved boat, which was a very difficult day. And he prayed the next night at dinner, God, thank you for this hard time and this big adventure. That's right. That's right.
That's our motto, right? Hard times lead to the hard times are the big adventures, right? Sorry, yep. That's how it goes. Oh, so you guys, we have a few more minutes. So what is bubbling up in anybody's heart right now? Just a short thought that you want to, maybe anything, just whatever's on your heart.
So if I could tell the ladies anything, I would tell them Psalms 100 verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise, isn't just part of a great psalm. It's actually a key that unlocks the ability to enter the courtroom of God when you pray. If you will think about it, if you will enter prayer with thanksgiving and praise and understand that you are entering God's court, it will revolutionize your prayer time. You will no longer be saying words. You will be having a conversation. The Holy Spirit shows up in just an amazing way when you do that. And I have seen it radicalize like prayer groups that the Holy Spirit, I encouraged one of my prayer groups to do that. And very soon the Holy Spirit was tangibly present when we prayed, because we were inviting him in specifically. It's amazing.
Yeah. I have a follow-up on that. Dave and I, we've done some really hard things together as well as some wonderful things together. But in the hard things, when you have hard conversations that have to be had, what we found in our marriage was that when we would start the conversation in prayer, with praise and in prayer, both of us would be at the foot of the cross. And it changed the conversation, because we were, instead of going like this, we were going like this. And then we could come together. And that's how God does that. I love that, Marcia. That is such a true statement and such good counsel. Anybody else?
Thank you. Yep.
Yeah, sure. So one of the illustrations that I use is that when we get in a problem and we look up at our big problem, and it's so much bigger than us, and then we turn around and we look up at God, and he's so much bigger than our problem. And then when we go back and we look at our problem again, we know who's got our back. And it just makes it so different, because our problems seem overwhelming until we know that they are overwhelmed.
Right.
And so that's how I get, that's one of the ways I get in the position of praise and gratitude, is by, you know, that's what praise and gratitude does. It takes your eyes off your problem for just a moment and puts them on your God. And then when you look back at your problem, you're looking not up from your eyes, but down from his, and you're in a better place. It's a better place.
Yeah.
Love that. I started putting on the spiritual armor years ago. I was actually doing a lot of study about it. I kept reading books about it, and I kept studying the Bible about it, and I took some courses on it. And at one point, after about a year of that, God said, so when are you going to put it on? And I'm like, what? I'm supposed to put it on? So I have studied, you know, it just was like, oh, dumb. But I just didn't get it. And so I thought, well, okay, so when I get dressed in the morning, I'll put on the spiritual armor. And so I do. I put my shield up, and then I put on my head and shoulders, knees and toes, basically. I put on my helmet, and then I put on my breastplate, and then I put on my belt, and then I tie my shoes on, and then I pick up my sword, and then I go to prayer, and then I'm ready to go, you know? And so, what happened was that as I began to do that as a routine every day, I went from having this little shield out in front of me, you know, you kind of visualize everything. I had this little shield out in front of me. And I remember one time telling my mentor, Larry Conrad, I remember saying, Larry, it's so weird. The shield, it went from barely big enough to to block the enemy's arrows to this shield that I can no longer see the outside edges of. It's like a shield. It's like a shield. And do I feel it when the darts come? Yeah, I do, because the shield kind of goes like that. And so that's when I'm experiencing a time when I have to go up for air through prayer, is when the peace gets shaken, when the shield gets hit, and then you know to go up for air through prayer. But it is not the same at all as taking the arrows.
Right.
I wanted to say one thing in response to what Vicki was saying about the world doesn't need Christians who are trying harder. Mm-hmm. And what we do need is Christians who are following harder. Right. Just follow hard. Like what right. he tells you to do, that's where your energy is going. You're not mm-hmm. trying on your own. You're following hard. Mm-hmm. And I'll just be honest, he takes you in some unexpected places.
I think an example of that between the four of us was walking with our mom with dementia.
Wow.
And yeah. just how when that journey began, you know, it just kind of unfolded, and we all were at different points on the compass of how we thought that might go, how it should go. I came from a pretty clinical perspective, having been a nurse and understanding, you know, just what I had seen. And then we all shared some books together and read some books together, but we were not in agreement mm-hmm. on how everything should go, where mom should live, how she should be taken care of, what should happen. And that was it was a 3-year journey. It was pretty short for us. I know some people go through that for a long time, but it was a 3-year journey for us. And what we saw over and over again, which is not normal, we know this from people who watched us, is that when we would come to a point where we were not in agreement, we might discuss it for a little bit, but then someone would go, let's pray. Or how about we spend some time singing? Or, you know, we just would show each other this amazing God-given grace.
Yeah.
We didn't have to fight or strive. And God ordered our steps on how to care for our mom to the finest detail.
He did.
Oh, he did.
And that was one of the most beautiful, difficult journeys I have ever been on, because I got to walk it with you.
Yeah.
And our love for our mom and our love for Jesus and our love for each other was so tangible that the professionals working with us noticed.
Yeah.
They noticed.
Yep.
I just remember being on the phone, the four of two of you on the phone, two of us in the room with the doctor when we came to final agreement. And Marnie and I just reached across the table, hold hands, and I had tears streaming down our face.
Yeah.
And the doctor afterwards was like, that's not how that usually goes.
Right.
And that's because Jesus was there.
Amen.
We were not trying harder. We were following harder, Marla.
Amen.
So that's really
Yeah. Anytime I would disagree with the decision we'd made as a group, I would just say, okay, Lord, you know why I disagree. You're in charge. And I would just give it to him, and I would just follow and allow it. And time after time, the thing that I disagreed with was a temporary step and not the final step. It was just a place on the path. And I so didn't have to worry, because God always took us the right way. And it was so lovely being able to do that.
If we could spend the next hour or maybe eternity thanking you, Marcia.
Oh, you so are the our saint. Father. Do we have a saint thing? Yeah.
Our father died suddenly in 2007, literally suddenly. He was fine, and then he was gone. And Marcia was living in my parents' home at that time temporarily, and she stepped into the full-time caregiver of our handicapped mother. And she did that for 11 years.
So what I said was, up until then, I'd been mooching off them, and then I really paid them back.
All of us, you paid all of us back.
Yeah, so just how God works these things. And Marcia, truly, we just saw the grace of God flow to you and through you consistently for those 11 years and all the way to the very end. And it is any of you who have parents with dementia, it is a bitter end. It's not the way you long to see them go.
Right.
You long to keep them alert and them their whole lives. But she was adorable as a dementia mama. Oh my goodness.
There were so many days I'd be like, Lord, can you just keep her here for a couple of years? This is just so fun. So one of the things that I've learned, especially from your gasping for grace, Marnie, was that the old saying, give it your best, then give it to God, is the definition of works. It's not grace. When you're doing grace, you give it to God, then you give God your best.
Ah, beautiful.
You just give it to him, let him hold it all. You still have to do a lot of work, but the outcome is not your responsibility. The quality is not your responsibility. How people respond, not your responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's God's, because you gave it to him. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you do that, the Holy Spirit gets to show up in power. You don't have to kill yourself trying so hard because the Holy Spirit's there. Just I taught a lesson on Hebrews, and for the 3 months leading up to it, I would listen to Hebrews 1-6 every morning and say, okay, God, what are you going to tell me about it today? And when I got to the lesson, it was just so powerful. We had a 5-hour Bible study. Nobody wanted to leave. and it was just so beautiful. And afterwards, I asked a friend, so what did you find the most meaningful out of what I taught? She says, you know, I really didn't understand a thing you said. And so,
that's so funny.
The Holy Spirit was flowing in such power. The words were irrelevant. Mm-hmm. God was talking.
I remember after a Sunday service, so we went to the same church for the 30 years that we lived in Warroad, Minnesota, which is up on the Canadian border, up right on at that hookup in the northern Minnesota part. And we lived there for 30 years. We went to the same church. And I remember the Sunday, our pastor had given just this amazing service. And afterwards, three of us were talking out in the back. And we were each saying, well, what I got out of it was, and then another person would say, well, what I got. And I was like, huh, I didn't even hear that. Another person said, well, what I got out of it. And I thought, I didn't really notice that. The pastor came by and we said, we are just talking about this sermon and how we all got so much out of it. And he said, well, what was one thing? And he said, I don't remember saying that. And I think that's, you know, as I work with womenspeakers.com and with all the gals over there, I think the challenge is to stay humble and to let God flow through you in whatever way he wants. I mean, like right now, honestly, you guys, my coloring here is just pathetic. And I've worked on these lights for what, 3 years since I started going live on YouTube. And I have done every different light configuration possible. I have got different cameras and it's still a challenge. So I can choose to not be here, or I can choose to be here with what God's given me today. That's all of our choices all the time.
Yeah.
I can just say no because I don't feel ready, because I don't think I look good, because I don't think it's perfect, because whatever reason, because somebody else said I shouldn't. Or else we can say yes to Jesus. But when we say yes to Jesus, that's when all of these hard things we're going to go through anyway become this amazing journey.
It's been really annoying for the last couple of years that God's been teaching me that he is equally able to use my mistakes as my successes. I really wish that he would give me more successes and use them, but I keep making mistakes and he keeps using those, and it's very humbling. And I just wanted to make sure that you all know, you know, when we get together, we glow, we shine, we show God's love, and it's real. It's real. Yeah. But we are not perfect. Right. And we are not always happy. We do have a better developed skill than a lot of people about taking our sadness to praise and gratitude, but it doesn't necessarily make the sadness go away. Yeah. When mom passed, both Marcia and I specifically, and probably the other two of you also, but we had some physical recuperation as well as emotional and spiritual recuperation we had to go through. It was a long, hard season. And although God was leading us, it was hard. I wrote a book about praising God in the middle of the valley. And there was a place, and I said in that book, I said, if you knew how God was going to use you there, it wouldn't be so bad. And God wouldn't let me publish that book until he brought me to a place that was horrible. I was in the hospital. I had a breast infection. They were giving me pain medicine for my headache, which was causing nausea. They were giving me nausea, anti-nausea medication for my nausea, which was causing the headache. And between that, they kept increasing my medicine and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I was in just, let's just say active unhappiness. And I recalled what I had written in that book. And I thought, you know, God can use me here and it doesn't make it one whit better. It's still flat out awful. And as soon as I had that understanding, I was able to go back, finish the book and actually publish it. I just need you guys to understand, when we're telling you to praise God in the hard times, we're telling you it's going to make it better, but it's not going to make it easy.
Right.
It doesn't get there. Our lives aren't easy. Our lives are fun. We see God in our life and that gives us joy. But we've had some hard times in our lives and don't think, oh, you know, they got it all together. Nah. We do not have it all together. We just pick ourselves up really frequently.
Except for Vicky. Anyway. She's got it all together.
Well, that's amazing. Vicky has it all together.
Someone said to me, I don't even know how many years in this was. Somebody said to me, stop trying to make everything so much fun. Your kids just need to know how much this sucks. And I was thinking, oh, I think they know. I think my kids know. The fun is like a little icing on top of broccoli. No, they get it. But we're going to laugh as much as we possibly can. Anyhow.
I have a line that I say all the time that I would be more faithful if it didn't feel so irresponsible. Yeah. And what I mean by that is exactly what you just said, where sometimes people will look at your life and they'll say, huh, you obviously do not understand the gravity of this situation. I'm like, oh, I fully get it. It is killing me, but I have a big God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. 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 And sometimes I will be going through extremely difficult times and think, okay, God, I'm going to embrace it because you're going to teach me something and make me a better person at the end of this, right? Right? Okay, then go for it. I'm going to cry my way through this, but it's okay. Keep going. I want to learn this. And right. And so sometimes I just like embrace the pain as part of the process, which is a pretty good attitude. Sometimes I don't know what he did there, but I still...
Not till heaven.
But that's one of the things that's been crazy about our journey is sometimes I'm like, what are you trying to teach me, God? You know, frankly, God sometimes says, well, it's not about you, Vic. It has nothing to do with you. And my favorite example, which I've shared over and over again, is when we were at Marnie's house. We moved in with our four kids. We just like took over their house and they made us so incredibly welcome. My husband was very, very sick. And one night at dinner, her husband came to the table and he goes, oh, God told me in my quiet time why you guys are here. And we're like, really? And so then he ran and he got his Bible. He came back. He's looking for, he finally gets to Psalm 68, which I should have memorized. It's the first like six verses. And it's like gloom and doom and death and despair. Widows and orphans and blah, blah, blah. It was going on and on. And then in the very end, you know, or like the last verses that he read, it talks about how then God comes and he sets the lonely in families and he restores the widows and orphans, blah. And then he finished and he shut his Bible and he looked up and said, there. And it was dead silent. There were eight of us at the table and seven of us were looking at him like, what did you just say? So finally, Marnie says in this little voice, what, honey? And he said, I was lonely and God set me in your family. And we were like feeling like such failures. We were grown-ups with four kids and we had no home and no place to go, living on charity and really a great place that was so blessing us. And it blessed him in a way we could never have imagined because you guys had just become empty nesters. And you had no children in your home. And then I brought you some kids.
You brought us some.
I brought you some wild and crazy boat boys. We have no idea why God is doing that. You know, did God put us on that journey with our mom so that we could show that doctor what looks like, what God's grace looks like when it works in action. Why were we in any of those places? A lot of times I just look around and go, why would God have me in this hospital today? Yeah. Why would God have me here today? Who am I here for? Is it for me? Is it for someone else? So, Marla, I love your idea of giving the jokes. That's just such a great idea to share happiness wherever you go.
It's doable. It's doable. Yeah. We can all tell somebody else's joke that we thought was really funny.
Yeah, you don't have to have your own joke. You can find just a joke you like. Yeah. You want to hear one I've been using a lot lately?
Yeah.
Anytime I'm in line and we're all wearing masks and I see someone else and their glasses are fogged over, I say, if you wear glasses and you wear a mask, you might be entitled to condensation.
My all-time favorite joke is Oli and Lena and a couple friends of theirs were out to dinner. And Oli was talking to Sven across the table. And Oli says, did you have a good vacation? Sven says, oh, man, it was so good. It was just so good. And he says, well, where'd you go? And he said, oh, it was at... Hey, what's the name of that flower that has the thorns on it? And the other guy says, the rose. And he looks at his wife and he says, hey, Rose, where'd we go on vacation? I relate.
Oh, the first day, the first time Mama didn't remember my name. Oh. But, you know, she never forgot God and she never forgot how to pray.
Amen.
They said that the last day, there was someone, the last day she was up and around and she was at the table and one of the other residents was sad and Mama just reached out her hand and put her hand on that other resident and they knew she was praying for her. And it's just like, we are so blessed, such a mama.
We have quite a heritage. And I know some of you who are watching are like, oh man, what I wouldn't give to have a family like that. And we get it.
We know.
We know.
We've never seen a family that we think we like better than ours.
And we recognize that God has called us all four of us here have been through just excruciatingly painful life seasons over and over. And he has carried us so amazingly. And we have seen him. We have seen his power. We have seen his love. When I started doing Best You 2022, it's not because I think it's going to be the most bestest, funnest ever year without any problems. That's not what I was thinking at all. What I was thinking is that we have the opportunity to do 22 with Jesus in a way that we have never done before. Pressing into him intentionally, saying yes, following harder, letting him flow through us when we run out of gas, saying, I'm out, but you've got some, I need some of yours. And just letting him lead us. It segues right into our closing prayer because we come from this amazing heritage. We both had a father and a mother who loved Jesus and they really loved him and they really modeled that for us. They were so human. They totally blew it all the time, but they loved him and they loved us. Yeah. And we had a grandma who was a praying nana. And she was actually written up in the Evangel magazine one time because she kept leading people to Christ so much. And she modeled that behavior of sharing Jesus with everybody we meet. And her favorite psalm was Psalm 91. And our mom's favorite psalm was Psalm 91. And my favorite psalm is Psalm 91. And I don't know about you guys, but Marcia has this prayer that she prays. And we're going to conclude the summit with that blessing on you guys. And I just encourage you to press into Jesus. And when you don't know what to do, open Psalm 91 and just read it and then go forward from there. So Marcia, I'm going to give it to you.
So do you want me to say everyone or do you want me to say Marnie?
Whatever you want. Oh no, if you're ready, say everybody. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I personalize Psalms 91, 14 through 16. And this is how it goes. God says, because you ladies love me, I will rescue you. Because you know my name, I will protect you. He will call on me, you all will call on him, and I will answer you. I will be with you when you are in trouble. I will extricate you and bring you honor. I will satisfy your life with long life and show you my Yeshua salvation.
Amen. 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 Well, this has been quite a ride. I can't even tell you how much of a ride it's been. Up, down, all around, upside down, inside out. And here we are at the end. And the end is just the beginning. If you missed out on any sessions, I encourage you to go back and watch them now, because there's so much great stuff. And if it doesn't resonate with you, just jump to a different one. Who cares, right? And take notes and follow up. Connect with the speakers. They invested so much to be here this weekend with us. They learned how to do it was the first thing. And then they invested in the swag gifts that you guys can even get going forward. They gave away over $18,000 worth of prizes to live attendees in the live sessions. And what an amazing journey we've had. And it just is starting. So happy, 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 happy 2022. But more important, blessed 2022 to you. And may this be your best year with Jesus ever. Bye-bye.